¿Ves?
Pledge allegiance to the
Flag.
United
The
States.
United States of America and to the
And to the
Republic
Republic for which it
for which
stands,
it stands.
one nation, under God, indivisible, with justice. Hello?
Thank you.
Hello? Hello? Okay.
Okay. Can we do roll call? Hopefully not an echo.
Roll call, Director Mezquia.
Present.
Director Bilodeau.
Present.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Meeks. Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Okay, just if I could just really quickly note that Director Sheldon provided notice to the legislative body, to the board earlier today, that he's participating this evening pursuant to Government Code Section 54953F2A for just cause.
Director Tran, Director Whitaker, Director Yeo.
Here.
You do have a quorum with six directors present.
Okay. Shall we move on? Are there any items too late to be agendized?
There are none, Madam President. However, staff at this time would ask that the closed session item for tonight be continued to the next board meeting on November 20th.
Okay, let's
I'll
do
make that
that.
motion.
Oh, you need a motion? Okay.
But typically, we should have one, of, you know, with Robert, but.
Got a motion? Do we have a second?
I'll second.
All right, we've got a motion and a second.
Okay, roll call, Director Mezquia.
Yes.
Director Bilodeau.
Yes.
Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wynn.
Yes.
Director Sheldon.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
That motion carries with six yes votes.
Okay. And now it's time for visitor participation. I have a card here. Jim Fissler, can you come and address us?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. Good evening, directors on Zoom and staff. I'm Jim Fissler. I am director at Mesa Water District, but I'm also your OC LAFCO representative as for special districts. I came to you in 2011 asking for your vote for the first time to join the OC LAFCO Commission. And I thank you for that vote then and for four subsequent election cycles, so that I've been able to continue for many years there. And I'm just here to give you a brief update. I was here a couple months ago giving you my annual update, but we had a nice confluence of events where yesterday our special district dialogue hit your emails, and then the LAFCO commission's biannual, ours is quarterly, their biannual, hit the email. So I just wanted to point out the outreach that is going on, because 4 years ago when Chair Doug Davert, the other special district voting member on LAFCO Commission, we came here and we made promises that we would increase outreach. And so we started this special district dialogue quarterly. We sent it by email to all elected officials. The paper copy is not that impressive because the link hyperlinks don't work, but so we kept it to one page to your email so that you would be enticed to at least read it. If any of the subjects that we touched on one page, you had interest and wanted a deep dive, you click on that, it'll take you right to the agenda and all the supporting documents. And subsequent to us starting that 4 years ago, this year LAFCO Commission has started a publication called The Pulse. It's a biannual, and it goes not to all the elected special districts like ours does, that Doug and I do. It goes to the general manager and the district secretary, and then it's up to them to forward it. I know you had a lot going on. It just hit Monday. I'm not sure if you saw it, but it's very in-depth, 7 pages. It's all LAFCO business, not just special districts. And featured right at the top is your own director, Bruce Whitaker, who I'm pleased to serve with on LAFCO. And Steve, Bruce and I, we get together before LAFCO meetings and we go over the agenda in detail. So we're pretty up to speed, and he's a great commissioner to work with. And so we also promised to be a resource, a facilitator, not an initiator. We've made our webpage more dynamic. There's a lot of links. There's maps of the districts, maps of the spheres of influences, maps of the cities. There's applications, forms for annexations to, detachments from, amendments to sphere of influence, schedule of fees, past MSRs. So I just wanted to make another appearance here tonight since we had this, both of these coming out within 24 hours of each other, and let you know there's a lot of good LAFCO updates that have come your way. So thank you for your time.
Well, thank you. Anyone else want to speak? I don't see any other hands, do you? Okay. Then we will move on to the consent calendar. Do I have a motion for the consent calendar?
I will move approval.
Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Okay. Roll call, Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Nguyen?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Meek, Tran, and Whitaker absent.
Okay. Now we move on to matters for consideration. In fact, I forgot to do this. Why don't we have this meeting in memory of Kelly Rowe, our director seven, director from Division 7. And Kelly died the day before Thanksgiving. And because of that, we need to fill Division 7 board vacancy. So now we need to develop a process and schedule to appoint an individual to fill the Division 7 vacancy, direct staff to issue a press release requesting interested candidates to forward a resume and letter of interest via email to the district secretary, C. Fuller at OCWD.com by a date to be determined by the board. And third, order a posting of a notice of vacancy as required by state law. Mr. GM, yes. Do you want to take over?
Thank you very much, Madam President. So the board has 60 days in which to fill the vacancy or to call for a special election. If that is not done, then the Board of Supervisors would appoint the replacement for Director Rowe. And so that 60 days falls on January 21st. And so the board would have to has the opportunity to take an action. What the posting also needs to be posted for 15 days. So if we were to post tomorrow, then the posting period would end on December 21st, which is the day after the next board meeting. So the board could then take action at the January 2nd meeting, or if they so choose, we could have a special board meeting before then. After the perhaps December 27th or some other time between the board meeting on December 20th and the board meeting on January 2nd. And the posting would take place. The district secretary would send out notices to the cities of Irvine, Newport Beach, and Costa Mesa. As I said, there would be a 15-day posting period. And the board could set when they wanted to close, applications. And then those applications would be taken forwarded to the board. And then typically interviews would take place at the specified board meeting. So that's kind of the process. And I guess at this point, staff would like direction as to what that process should be.
Okay, go ahead.
I think, Mike, we have a meeting on January 17th. That's a Wednesday. That's the third Wednesday of January, which is right before the 21st, which is right. Our deadline.
Uh-huh.
So that's kind of the last chance we have.
Correct.
I would suggest that we accept resumes until maybe the week before, just so that the packet will be complete and that we have on our agenda on January 17th to make a decision and do it like we've always done it. We invite people to come and be, you know, give us their pitch and we can vote.
Don't want to do it the third.
We could do it the third. I just don't know. It's pretty quick in terms of, you have the holidays and everything.
I'm asking, I'm not telling.
Yeah. I think the 17th is better just because you have that kind of dead week between Christmas and New Year's where there's not really anything going on. And I'd rather not burden the staff with having to put all the material together, you know, during that week. I think that'd be not fair to them. So that's my take, but I'm open to other suggestions.
Okay. Do we have any other comments? This is filling the vacancy for Kelly. I don't see any hands. Do
no
you?
No hand.
Do you want to make that a motion?
Sure. So I'll make a motion that we adopt the recommended actions, which I believe that we have to declare the seat is vacant and post it per... Okay. And that
we notified the
okay. And then we direct the clerk to accept resumes of interest from the public and that we agendize this for action at the January 17th meeting. And that will sort of force the board to make a decision that night, whether we like it or not. And that's my motion. And I'm open to other suggestions, though.
I would second that.
All right. Do we have any other comments? Kate? Yes, please.
Just as a point of clarification, Director Bilodeau, would we accept applications up through January the 12th?
Let's see.
Which is the mail out date?
Yeah.
For the board.
Why don't we make it the week before on January 10th? That way there's 1 week.
2 days before. That'd be great.
That way there, January 10th, close of business, January 10th, 5 p.m. Pacific, we'll accept those resumes. But, you know, ultimately the board can do whatever they want, right? I recall we did that 1 year.
Absolutely.
We actually appointed a guy that didn't even apply 1 year. We called him on the phone. Remember that? So, because ultimately the board can do whatever they want, but I think we should solicit, tell the public that we would like the resumes.
Applications will be accepted up through close of business.
On the 10th of January. Yeah, that way it'll give time, the staff time to put everything together in a packet for everyone to see.
Perfect. But let's just accept those that we get applications for. Okay, we have a motion and a second.
I'd
like to comment.
Oh, okay. Director Sheldon?
No, I think someone else started talking before I did. They can go ahead first.
Director Whitaker second the motion.
Oh, I thought someone else. Maybe that was Christina that I heard talking. I thought I heard someone speaking right when I did. So I think that's a good point. And there is some that made by Director Bilodeau and President Green regarding the cutoff date and, you know, maybe explicit information in the packet that the cutoff date is on the 10th. So all the potential applicants are very clear. They may think they can fill it out and come that day or what have you, or it's, you know, it's pointed out very clearly and overemphasized in the packet on the cutoff date. Additionally, you know, I think the board reserves the right to appoint the board's pleasure. And if there is another applicant that doesn't meet that date, we have the right to waive the rules to do what is our pleasure. I think we should not forego that. There could be a candidate that is, we feel is greater than those that submitted, and we shouldn't self-censor ourselves into not being able to hypothetically to select that candidate. So I just wanted to put that out there. And I think there but potentially should be some language in it that we reserve the right to accept the candidates, to pick another candidate, or to do whatever is the pleasure of the board. I would not want to, you know, create an impression that we, because we do have those rights, I believe. And let me just stop for a moment. And Jeremy, you're listening. If you could comment on what I just said, would that be the rights of the board to do that?
Absolutely. No, you have a lot of discretion as to what you want to put in the notification. I mean, there are minimum requirements for, there have to be at least three postings that within the Division 7. That would have to be at least 15 days before the appointment's made. But other than that, you have a lot of discretion as to what goes in the notification. So that what you're suggesting is certainly appropriate.
Kind of like when we have in our bids, like we reserve the right to reject all bids or do something else or blah, blah, blah. So we could have something like in there just so it says it on the face of the document announcing the opportunity to submit an application. I think that would be helpful.
You may have the discretion.
Right.
But it certainly doesn't make it a fair process if you do that.
Yeah, I just want to comment. If I could just comment real quick, Steve.
Yes, Dennis.
What happened 1 year was we had a very thin applicant pool, and we ended up appointing a guy named Noble Waite, who was previously on the board like 15 or 20 years prior, but we knew he lived in the district. And we knew he'd be up to speed, and we also knew he'd be a caretaker. And so that was sort of the consensus. And that was a very unique situation.
When we're working by the rules, those are the rules. And when we work by the rules, we do have a fair process.
Okay, we have a motion and a second.
Okay. Roll call, Director Amezcua?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes, but I am vehemently opposed to that kind of discretion, though.
Director Wynn? Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay. That motion carries with 6 yes votes with Directors Wynn, Meeks, and Tran absent.
Okay, moving on to a request for quotes on on-call engineering services for design and construction of additional PFAS treatment systems.
Chris? Yes, thank you, Madam President. Chris Olson will be presenting this item to the board this evening. Chris.
Thanks, Mike. Good evening, President Green, members of the board. So this item, calling round two of PFAS treatment systems. As we all are aware, early next year, the EPA is anticipated to formally establish the maximum contaminant levels, the MCL, for PFOA and PFAS at 4 parts per trillion. So the impact on this is additional 40 to 45 producer wells would be affected by that new MCL, and under our district PFAS treatment policy would be included. So staff has been working to get out ahead of this. We've been meeting with these producers. We've been talking about flow rates, production, site constraints, limitations, kind of gearing up to which one would have the most impact to be done first. Similar to what we did in the planning study where we put reports together with all that information. So we're getting out ahead of it. What we would like to do is we're requesting to issue an RFQ, which is a request for quotes to develop an on-call consultant team for this second round of treatment design and construction management services. So the first, what we have right now, the on-call consultants, we have 6 of them, and they're working on the 62 wells currently. So we would allow them to submit their quotes, and if they met the criteria still, we would include them, but we'd also want to reach out to add 2 or 3 more to have a bigger pool going forward. We wouldn't spend any money until that MCL is set, but we want to be prepared to get out ahead of it. So that's what this item is about. And the recommendation is to issue a request for quotes for the on-call consultants to prepare those PFAS treatment system designs and CM services and authorize staff to enter into service agreements with that consultant team. If you remember, we did this before with the first phase and it was very successful. We were able to get proposals and designs started immediately as opposed to having to continuously come back to the board. The board gave us the ability to enter into a master agreements with these consultants, and we were able to issue work orders, which was a really fast thing to do, and it was beneficial for everybody. And in doing so, we would like to establish a project design budget of $20 million for that on-call work. And we could take any questions.
Do we have any questions?
Question?
No hands.
I think I heard somebody say question.
I think it was Director Sheldon.
Okay, Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Madam President. Is the budget contemplating all of the other design that's been done and that can be and can be reused? Or are you considering reusing it? Or does new designs have to be done? What's the thought behind the pricing?
So yes, new designs have to be done, but the template is there. So they're very similar. So we can use a lot of that work that's been done. For example, the 62 wells, you know, Anaheim's doing their own work, but we're doing, you know, almost 50 of them ourselves, high 40s. And that dollar amount for design and construction management services we're going to spend is $25 million. So this 40 to 45, we're hitting it at 20, thinking that's about the right number.
Is that mostly for construction documents or for actual design also?
Design and construction documents and construction management services during construction.
And you feel it's been a good experience having the designer be the person looking over the construction?
So far, so good. They're not complicated sites. The only one instance where we changed things up a bit was with the city of Tustin, where we brought in Butier to do the construction inspection. But for the other ones, the sites are, you know, pretty standard, and it's been successful.
It does seem to me to potentially be an inherent conflict to have the person who designed it doing the checking, but that's okay. Thank you very much for the answer. I'll make a motion to approve the item if there aren't any other questions.
There are. There are two more questions.
I will withdraw my motion. Thank you very much, Madam President.
You can.
No, we'll just hold off first. I'll let someone else make it.
Okay. Director Yeo.
Thank you, President Green. Chris, the $20 million is set in the budget, and it's not a lump sum contract, right? It's just set in the budget. And as Director Sheldon mentioned, that we're taking into consideration our collective experience, and hopefully there will be some cost saving in the process, correct?
Yes, you're correct. So that $20 million, what it does is it placeholds a total amount. And as we start a design, we get a quote, a specific quote from a consultant for 1, 2, 3, whatever the number of wells is for PFAS treatment design. We get that quote, and that dollar amount is part of the $20 million and gets assigned to the individual project budget. So the $20 million just gives us the flexibility to know that we can initiate these quickly and they become part of the budget that eventually comes to the board for approval.
Yeah, it's an encumbrance of budget for that purpose. Got it. Okay, and I just wanted to take the opportunity, it would be remiss of me not to mention to thank the staff working closely with Golden State Water Company in completing that treatment plan in Placentia. I understand that that's one of two, right, production wells in the city that provide drinking water to 80% of the city. So thank you very much. And I'll second Director Sheldon's motion.
Okay, Director Bilodeau.
Yeah, Chris, I have a question. How do you plan on paying for this? I mean, I mean, being a little facetious, but in the next 12 months, is there state or federal money on the horizon that we know of we're applying for, or federal earmarks or water bond money? Or, I mean, what's our targets currently that realistically that we have in the next 12 to 24 months that may pay for some of these activities?
Currently, we have applications in with the state. The individual cities do. We help them submit those applications. I think, is it $20 million or $25, Chris?
$20
million. And those funds should be released fairly soon.
Were those for projects we've already completed, or these are new ones we've identified?
Well, actually, those were retroactive, so they'll help cover the cost of some of the projects that we've recently completed.
So for these new ones, the 20 million we're voting on right now, mm-hmm. do we have targets we're pursuing for funding to help support those?
Now staff's in the process of developing the budget. Okay. So we're looking at how we may fund these projects, kind of given a worst case without grant money, but also another case with grant funding.
Okay.
But we do have the 20 million in now. There will be an opportunity next year to fund, we believe, through the Bureau of Rec's Title 16 program to get some funding for some of these newer projects. So those are the major targets for PFAS.
Okay.
Plus the newer cities also will be able to get some of the money that's become available through the State Water Resources Control Board.
Okay. I just need to know that you guys are pursuing every avenue.
Absolutely.
Obviously. Mr. Fick stays up at night thinking about these things, I'm sure. Yeah. So okay, that's my questions. Thank you very much.
I don't see any other hands.
No hand, right?
Okay. Do we have a motion from Director Sheldon? I can't hear you. Yes, but
Roger second my motion.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I forgot he withdrew the motion. I forced him to make the motion.
Okay. If you like, Madam President, I'll make another motion if you'd like me to.
Yes, please.
I'm Roger. I move this item.
Okay, Director. All righty. There we go. We have a motion and a second.
Okay. Roll call. Director Mezquit?
Yes.
Director Bilodeau?
Yes.
Director Green?
Yes.
Director Sheldon?
Yes.
Director Whitaker?
Aye.
Director Yeo?
Yes.
Okay, that motion carries with 6 yes votes, with Directors Meeks, Nguyen, and Tran absent.
Okay. Now moving on to PFAS update.
Yes, thank you, Madam President. And since Chris is at the podium, we'll let Chris give the PFAS update this evening.
Okay. Like we do the first board meeting of almost every month, the update of what's going on with design and construction. We've had a few more added to the operational status. So we have 34 wells of the 62 operational, 20 still in construction and 8 in design. Similar schedule I've been showing, trying to emphasize the fact that we're gonna have about a dozen more online and operational within the next couple months. Like we've been having in the previous jobs, some of these are having delays. Primarily it's electrical and communications, but Anaheim's got one more well left in their phase A, and then there's 6 in their phase B, which probably going to be February, March timeframe. East Orange County, IRWD, and Fullerton, which I'm going to show a couple of slides on those. So the others in yellow, those are in design. Orange is in construction. And then we've got one Santa Ana well, 31, out to bid right now, which we will be coming back to the board in January for awarding that construction contract to get the second well for Santa Ana operational. So just a few, like I said, the ones that are really close. This is East Orange County Water District. They have two systems out there. It's the well in the background with the cover and the chemical injection facility onto the site here. So you can see this site's, it's right there. It's literally waiting for approvals through Edison and getting finalized with the electrical. Over at IRWD, their OPA 1 well, this is the two systems, resin, just like East Orange County resin media. This one was lowered because of the proximity to the residents, but the base is gone, asphalt base is gone down. They're ready to pave the site. Similar situation, just waiting on some small electrical components to be finalized. This site, along with East Orange County, probably end of December, more likely end of January to be operational. And then Fullerton main plant, the granular activated carbon site with our tall vessels here. Similar situation, they're getting their base ready. It's for paving, and we're looking probably January, maybe early February, to get this site up and running for Fullerton main plant. for Anaheim, starting with their phase A. As we've talked before, they have seven of their wells are operational. Just want to point out, I was just at the Linda Vista site today. We were doing punch list items around the lake with some of the work that they were doing. So they have, of their five wells that feed to their centralized treatment plant, they have four wells operational. And just given the demand of the time of year, they're cycling through them. And they're producing about 12,000 gallons a minute right now, which is just under or around 17 million gallons a day through that treatment plant. So that thing is up and running, and they got one more well to finish up with commissioning over there. And then they will be ready for the summer and going forward with all five of those wells at that treatment plant. So what they have remaining is their Boysen Park well for phase A. And they're doing some well rehab work, and they're getting the electrical and their variable frequency drive for their motor, for the well motor, commissioning this month. So this site should be online in the next month or two. And that would get all of phase A operational, eight wells. All of phase B, which is six wells at five site, are under construction, various levels of construction. It's just a couple of quick images. This is the building, that well building for their Santa Cruz site. They have two wells. It's a large site, two wells, one treatment plant. So they got electrical work going on, and they got their conveyance pipeline in Orangewood that they're constructing right now. This is their Brookhurst site, the vessels installed, also working on underground utilities, working on their well rehab. Their downtown site, above ground piping, electrical work. These are about in the similar situations as far as timing for completion. And then Catella site, also electrical. They're all in that same phase, electrical components and getting the site completed. These sites realistically are probably going to be March, April timeframe to be operational for the phase B. And then we have Tustin for the four wells, for the one centralized treatment plant. Not much has changed as far as how the site looks. Similar as all the rest of them, we're doing a lot of underground work with the electrical going on. So even though you can't see too much difference out here where my cursor's at now, you've got one set of vessels is installed. They don't want to bring the other ones in yet because of all the work that's going on, tying everything in, they would be just in the way. So site work continues, pipeline work is resuming. This is still planning in probably the 10 to 12 max timeframe for this site to be operational. I believe that is the update, and I could take any questions.
Okay. Any questions?
I have a question. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Director. Can you go back to the, I'm sorry, thank you. Can you go back to where it's showing the city of Santa Ana and all the other cities?
Yes. Wait. Where did I show the city of Santa Ana?
There was a listing of all the cities with the schedule. Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah.
So Santa Ana. Go ahead.
I was going to say we have the one well 31, which is out to bid right now, taken to the board next month for award. The other two wells that we're doing are wells 27 and 28. It's a central plant for those two. And they're close to wrapping up that design. We'll probably be going to the board to request to issue those bids in the next month or so.
So you have design out to April. It looks like the middle of April of 2024. So if it comes to us next month or within the month, or two, then we could start sooner, correct?
So I just don't have a lot of detail on this, but the reason why it shows design going until April is because typically the bidding period lasts at least 2 months, and I'm incorporating that into the yellow schedule.
Okay, so that's what you're doing there. Okay, I'm just asking because it seems like I know that I look at Fullerton, one well projected to be completed in June of 25. And then Santa Ana has one well, looks like, or two that are projected to be completed mid-July of 25. And then the other one in, looks like April of 25. And I'm looking here on through Zoom, so I apologize if I'm not seeing it correctly. So that's a hard date of 25, or what does the timeline look like?
It's not a hard date. It's the reality of when we first started these, we could get them done in 8 to 10 months. But because of long lead times, they're more likely around 12 to 16 months. It's just the sign of the times with everybody and long lead times and material shortages.
Okay. And I appreciate that because I'm hearing that in many meetings that I'm at. I'm sure all the directors are about materials, and the shortage, and the cost, and the increases and things of that nature. So I do appreciate that answer. So thank you. That's all I have, Madam President.
Okay. This was informational. All right. Next, Sapa, Director Whitaker.
Yes. We had only two items yesterday morning's Sapa Commission meeting. The first was to extend for a year the contract with West Coast Advisors for legislative services. That was $117,000. The second item was a resolution which was approved unanimously to be able to commend Kelly Rowe for his service and some of the fine work that he did at SAPA over the years. And that would be presented to his wife. But it was no closed session after that, but there were some kind words said about Kelly.
Nice. Okay. Anybody else? I don't see. Okay. Moving on to committee conference meeting reports.
I'd like to report that I did attend the Aqua meeting in Indian Wells and attended several sessions, and particularly one on PFAS, and I found it quite informative. That's my report.
Director Whitaker?
Yes, I'd like to put on record as well that I attended the Indian Wells Aqua Conference, and now I can call you President Green. Right? I mentioned that at SAPA as well yesterday, and I understand you're meeting with several of the SAPA commissioners soon, too.
Hi.
Very good.
Director Yeo?
Yes, thank you, President Green. I attended the conference as well, and very happy to see you being installed as the new Aqua Chair, President. Thank you.
And I, too, as you might have guessed, attended the Aqua Conference. Anybody else? Okay. Moving on to verbal reports. President's report. I have a couple of things. I would like to, today we received from the National Groundwater Association, an award for the Groundwater Supply Project Award. And very proud of it. It was a huge, huge conference. I was really amazed at how many people there were. And then one of the speakers I heard was Rudy of Notre Dame football fame and the movie. And he was absolutely delightful. He really was. I got to spend some time with him. So that was nice. But it was a great conference, but really, really crowded. So General Manager?
Nothing to report, Madam President.
Okay.
Director Yeo has his hand raised.
Okay, director's report. Director Yeo?
Yeah, thank you, President Green. Just wanted to go back to the Aqua Conference that we're very happy to see that our general manager was honored twice during the conference. And, you know, he's very well respected. And he shared a piece of information about his life that we didn't know about, that his father was a Hollywood actor. So that was very interesting. Wayne's World. So Mike, I hope you have the opportunity in all staff meeting to share with staff, you know, that was a very interesting factoid about your life. So
yeah, I'm not sure I've shared that with them yet, but I have one more opportunity to do so. So I will.
So I watched the 30-second video over and over. There is some family resemblance, so I believe you.
Okay. General Counsel?
Yes, thank you, Madam President. We had a closed session, but it's been tabled until the next board meeting. And so nothing further to report on my end.
Okay. We are now adjourned in memory of Kelly Rowe, Director of Division 7. Wow. Oh.